Turn your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. I'm sure that most anybody that's been in church length of time is familiar with this, but God has laid it upon my heart to try to share it with you today. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would take the word and speak to hearts and do what he wants to do with that, that we be obedient. As we heard in Sunday school, we have a choice to make what we do with the word of God. And I pray that God would help us make the right choice today. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Please stand while I read the word of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, which each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with the ears, and understand with the heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? He answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, the houses without man, the land be utterly destroyed, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. Let's stop reading there, bow our heads and pray. Ask God for his divine help today. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we had to be in the house of God. And surely it's been good to be in Sunday school. It's been good to be in the service here this morning. Choir singing and ladies singing, and Lord, what a joy to our hearts, people coming and thanking you for saving them and praying here at the altar. And Lord, I praise your name and pray you help them and bless them, and some maybe praying, come praying for others. But I pray you meet the need today in every heart, every life. You know who's here, you know exactly what's going on, you know exactly what we need today. And I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Spirit would illuminate our mind, help us to speak, and I pray the power of God be upon us. Lord, you take it and use it for your glory. I plead the blood of Jesus right now. I ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. And you speak to that soul that's unsaved, lost, without God. I pray today conviction be real, drawn by your power. I pray for those who are here need to come and yield their life in obedience unto thee. Lord, encourage discouraged hearts. Help all of us today to look unto you and find strength and help. And I want to thank you right now for saving us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that when we was unworthy, and we are unworthy, but you still loved us, saved us by your marvelous grace. I praise your name. God, you bought us off a slave market of sin, saved us by your grace, and we praise you and thank you. Now use the word of God, help us preach, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to speak today on the subject, three little words. Three little words. I pray God take those today and speak to our hearts. Maybe somebody here that's unsaved may see their need of a Savior and come to know Him who to know His life eternal. I am glad God still saves sinners. God hadn't changed His mind about whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. And Brother Blake's wonderfully said in Sunday school, it's whosoever. And you do make a choice, and everybody does. God speaks, God deals, but we make choices. I'm glad God helps us. We couldn't do that on our own, but God helps us. I thank Him for it. He gives us light to bring us into the light, enough to see that we're even lost. And I'm glad He does. Amen. Now, I want you to look with me in verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me. Woe is me. That word woe I want to talk about for a few moments and talk about that. Here Isaiah doing some contemplating. Look back in verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. Now, undoubtedly Isaiah had a lot of respect for, and this was a godly king had died. And here Isaiah thinks about his death, and it seemed like somebody had been removed that they really needed, he thought. And undoubtedly, let me say this, God never makes a mistake about who He removes. When He lets somebody leave out of this life and it comes that time for them to move from here into eternity, God has never made a mistake about that. He's always right. And sometimes people, maybe here Isaiah may have been looking too much under Uzziah. And they said in the year that he died, undoubtedly he was looking to him and trusting God to use him to help the nation of Israel. And he was concerned about that. But then he makes a statement and said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. He said King Uzziah had died and man had been removed, but then I saw the Lord. He said, I got my eyes on the Lord and I saw His glory. And praise God, if you ever get your eyes upon the Lord, you need to contemplate this and realize the fact that He saw beyond the death of Uzziah. He saw beyond the problems, the cares, the burdens that came with that. He saw beyond what man was limited in doing. He saw beyond what man could do, had thought about doing, but he saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne. I say hallelujah. Jesus is still on the throne. He ain't going anywhere, and He's still on the throne, still able to help. And Isaiah said, I saw Him high and lifted up, and His train filled it. His glory filled that place, and Isaiah was looking at the glory and realizing what was taking place. And I say today that we need to get our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto myself. I believe the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will take that and speak to hearts and deal with lives and bring people to repentance and bring people into where they need to be with God, preaching Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. It's Him. It's Him. And so here he said, I saw the Lord. And I pray today that we'll get our eyes off of each other, off of anybody else, and just see the Lord high and lifted up. He is high and lifted up. He is on the throne. He is worthy of all of our praise. He is worthy of all the glory that we shall ever give Him. He is the one that can help us in our problems. He is the one that is able to move mountains. He is the one that's able to calm the sea. He is the one that's able to do whatever needs to be done. The multitude needs to be fed. He's the one able to feed them. The multitude needs some help. The lepers need to be cleansed. The hungry need food. The thirsty need water. And He's able to provide all of that and then some more. I say hallelujah and praise His only. Aren't you glad that our God is able? And not only able, but we need to see Him as able. And Brother Wall, you're talking about going to Haiti. I know there'll be a lot of obstacles, but I'm glad I know the one that's able to solve every obstacle. Move it out of the way. Solve the problem. Move however he needs to do, whatever he needs to do, how he needs to do it. And our God is able to do that. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. And I know in my life I've been struggling sometimes, wringing my hands. And what I really needed to do, get my eyes off the situation and look at the Lord's way of viewing it. And his eye view is from the sky. He sees it in a different angle than what I see it at. He sees the beginning and the end, everything in between. All I see is right now, what's happened yesterday and where it is right now. I don't see how it's going to wind up, but God does. God does, and I'm glad he does. That means praise God. I've got somebody to look to. I've got somebody I need to keep my eyes on. It's Jesus, amen. He is a rose of Sharon. He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright in the morning star. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the beginning and the end. He's a Redeemer. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I say to you today, thank God, the privilege we have to look unto the Lord. And so he looked unto the Lord. And when he did, he cried, whoa, whoa. He said, woe is me. And here he sees himself. Hey, we need to remember what Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14 said. Now, and he said, now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for God shall bring every work, and notice this, and every secret thing into judgment. I got, somehow God spoke to my heart about that. And I've read that verse many times, quoted it a lot. And God will bring every judge, every sin, and every work into judgment. But it said, there every work and every secret thing that he'll bring into judgment, whether it be good or evil. And so you and I need to remember, nothing's hid from God. There is nothing that is hid from God. Everything's open before him, and there's no secrets with God. He sees everything. Sees everything. And so as we, he saw that, Isaiah saw that, and realized that, then he began to cry out. I want you to turn with me, please, in the book of Job, chapter 42. The book of Job, chapter 42. Now, Job had been through the trials and heartaches and sorrows, and you remember the story. God said, devil said he'd curse you to you, told God he'd curse you to your face. And God said, no, he won't. And said, go ahead and touch him and let him take everything he had but his wife. And she turned against him and said, won't you curse God and die? And he sat out there sick and sore from top of his head to the sole of his feet, and had lost all of his children, lost all of his physical things on this earth, and sat out there in ashes, and friends came by, and they were going to try to comfort him, but what they did was criticize him. And Job still maintained his integrity. And yet Job, through it all, did good and well, but still he began to cry out sometimes. He still made some cries that was wonderful cries. He cried one time in Job 19, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah, he made a great cry. But Job at the same time was still in some wondering about why he was like he was. But I want you to look now in chapter 42. Someone said, one time it's all right to say why, and I do believe it's all right to say why, as long as we don't try to figure out things on God's business, not ours, amen? But when we ask why, sometimes God will show us why, because we need to see our whys so he can help us get our whys straightened out and straightened out with God. But here Job is, and God been dealing with him, and he cried out and said, oh, that I had a daysman, had somebody somewhere, and go between somebody to help me. And Job was crying out to God, and verse 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered, notice what he said, therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And if Job himself cried out like that, how do you and I need to cry? What he's saying was, I've said things in my heart and I've even uttered with my lips. I've cried, why didn't God answer me? And why isn't he a daysman and all of this? But said, then I saw the Lord. That's what Isaiah said was, I saw the Lord. And I'm not talking about seeing the Lord physically, literally, in bodily form. I'm talking about seeing spiritually. And I believe today that you can see the Lord. I believe you can see the Lord. Y'all still with me? I believe you can see the Lord with a spiritual eye. In fact is, you never would have gotten saved if God hadn't let you see the Lord. He opened your understanding enough that you saw Jesus was the Savior and you were the sinner, amen. He opened you up enough that you got a glimpse of him hanging on Calvary, dying for your sin, taking your place and paying your price. You got enough of that. And God let you see that, amen. I'm glad God let me see him one day, amen. I've been looking at everybody else in the church and I could tell you what was wrong with them. But that Sunday morning, God got a hold of me. I saw myself lost and without God. And I was going to hell without Jesus and I needed some help. And God came by my way, opened my understanding and gave me a good glimpse of glory, amen. A good glimpse of that train filling the temple. A good glimpse of Jesus Christ himself on the throne. And then I saw myself and I was undone, unworthy, ungodly, and unfit. And I got in a good shape then because God began to work. God couldn't do that until I saw myself and saw Jesus. And I'm trying to say the day he said, saw the Lord, first thing he cried out was, whoa! And if you ever see the Lord, they'll cry out, whoa too. Because the Holy God, and I've been preaching for years and trying to tell people about Jesus, but I can't begin to tell you the glory about him. I can't begin to, with words in my mouth, describe the glory of him that inhabits eternity. The one that hung the earth out there on nothing. The one that put the stars in place. The one that I put the sun in the right place, moon in the right place, put the gravity to work and makes everything work in order together. I can't begin to describe him unto you. He that came from nowhere, who has always been, always will be, eternal great I am that I am. I can't begin to describe him. But I can tell you one thing, if you ever get a glimpse of him on the throne, and he is on the throne. I don't care what the world says about him. I don't care what the moderns say about him, nor what the liberals say today. I want you to know that God's still on the throne. Courts can do what they want to, and schools can say what they want to, but God is still on the throne. And you and I need to understand that he still rules. He's got it under control, don't you fret too much about that. Amen. He's got it under control. And so he saw himself. And notice why he saw himself and got under that conviction and began to cry. But look what he said in verse 5. Made confession. He said, then I said, I. Then said I. Woe is me! Exclamation mark. Saying, I cried. For I'm undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He said, I'm unclean. And some people, they'll talk about, I believe God let me in heaven because I do this, I do that, I do that. In the sight of a holy God, all your righteousness is as filthy rags. I don't care what you've done. You say, preacher, I've given every penny I got away to help mission. That won't get you into heaven. You're still just ungodly and unfit outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, I read my Bible through every 6 months, every 3 months. I pray 2 hours a day. All those, that doesn't make a bit of difference. You're just as ungodly and unfit and go to hell just as sure as the world unless you've been born again and see yourself and cry out to God, I'm undone. I need some help. I need help. And so here he's crying out. He saw the Lord, realized what he needed, and cried to God for it. You remember David, that man after God's own heart, when he reached a point and he cried out in Psalm 51 and said, I acknowledge my sin, my transgression, my sin is ever before me. He acknowledged it. He cried out and said, I've sinned. And so he had that public went to the house of God to pray. Pharisee went the same time. Pharisee started talking how good he was and what all he did. And poor old publican over there, despised, rejected. The Bible said he smote his breast, said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible said he went down to his house justified rather than the other. He just simply acknowledged who he was, what God could do for him, what God did for him. I say amen. Let me give you the second word. I've got to hurry here. Woe, woe. I said I got to hurry now. I don't know what to do or not. Just all depends on what God's got for us. Amen. Amen. God don't run on the clock. Woe. That's a good word to remember. Because if we never cry woe, we'll never get the rest of it. Woe. But look in verse number 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this have touched thy lips. Now if you'll back up, in verse number 6. Then flew one of the cherubims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this have touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Let me say a word about the lips he's talking about being unclean. And the Bible says, the mouth speaketh out of the abundance of the heart. It's what's inside. He's not just talking about just saying something wrong. It's wrong with the heart. And it comes out in our mouths. Amen. And the abundance of our heart. But he's talking about sin and crying out about sin. And then that cherubim that's flying up there too and crying, holy, holy, holy. And by the way, holy, holy, holy is one thing you can cry about him. But then he cried about himself, whoa. And then God sent them on the and they took with tongs from off the altar a live coal. That was the altar where the burnt sacrifice was made. And that's where blood was shed. And they took a coal from off. Hey, I'm glad, praise God, for the blood sacrifice that was made and that coal. Hey, God's wrath burned against sin. But I'm glad, hallelujah, God has taken my place in Jesus Christ, you preached, talked about today. And thank God, God has purged our. Look what it said in verse number 7. And thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I say, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad God touched me, as it were, one day. And when I said, whoa, and he said, lo, amen. And glory to God, you know what happened? I said, whoa, and he came low where I was. Now, I know that's a different word there, but he came low where I was and came to me. I couldn't get to him, but he got to me. And he came where I was and picked me up. I say, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad I cried, whoa, because he said, lo, I'm coming down there to help you. And he, as it were, took that coal and touched my lips and cleansed my heart, birthed me in the family of God. And I say, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad, whoa, I cried, and lo, he came. Amen, lo. Hey, glory to God. Now, Isaiah was saying, I can't help myself. I can't do anything. But God said, lo, I'm coming down to help you. And he did. Aren't you glad when you cried, whoa? God cried low, I'm coming to help you. And I say hallelujah, he did. He got where we were and helped us. It's conviction. It's confession. Then there's going to be some converting going on. Amen. There's going to be some cleansing taking place when all that takes place. But now look in verse number 9. And he said, go. Go. Hallelujah. He said, whoa. Lo. Then he said, go. Boy, those three little words got a lot of meaning to them. I want you back up to verse number 8 and read it with me, if you would, please. I don't mean out loud, but just read along with us. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I can get this in my mind's eye. I can see Isaiah standing over here. He said, whoa. And God said, lo. And got him cleaned up. And God said, go. And I see Isaiah over here saying, here am I, send me. Let me go. I'll go tell it. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, did you know I'm talking about
just a call to preach. I'm not talking about just a call for mission work. That may be your case. I don't know. That could be, but I know one thing. For everybody that ever cried woe and God ever came low, he's saying go. Hey, go, go, go. And you can't spell gospel without G-O. And we all need to go and tell. God's saying who'll go. And Ezekiel said one time, I said, God sought for a man to make up the hedge and stand in the gap. I say, glory to God. He's still seeking men, women, boys and girls that'll make up the hedge and stand in that gap for God. Amen. I praise God for young folk and adults alike and people of God that'll stand for God and say, here am I, let me go. Let me tell somebody about Jesus. Let me do it. Hey, it's a privilege to tell somebody about Christ. Amen. Let me go. And so many times we try to push, beg, plead, but God just says, go. If we've ever cried woe and God came low, then we ought to go and tell somebody about Jesus. He said, who shall I send? Who'll go? And notice, I want you to notice something else in that verse. Number 8. Pardon me. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Whom shall I send? God, one. Who will go for us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God is one in three. Three in one. He said go. And so God today, the Holy Ghost saying go, go. When you tell somebody about it. But now let me give you this and I'll close. Here's the call of God made. And here's the consecration of Isaiah saying, I'll go. And then verse number 11. Then I said, I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, the houses without man, the land be utterly desolate. We sometimes look around in our society and we see how bad it is and we wonder why, how long we have to keep telling you, how long we have to keep going out in this mess. And how long we had to keep going to the prisons? How long we had to keep going to those people messed up their lives? How long we had to keep going to Haiti? How long do we have to keep going to these other places? How long we had to go to our neighbors? How long we had to go to people around us? How long we need to do that? They're ungodly, unfit, and all that stuff. How long we need to do it? He said, go until there's nobody left to go to. He said, the cities be wasted. Everything's thrown down. Verse number 12. And the Lord hath moved men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. He said, just keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. Amen. He said, their ears are going to be heavy. Their eyes are going to shut. And not many going to listen. Won't many hear you. Won't many see anything. But keep on telling it anyhow. He didn't say I was responsible for results. He said I was responsible. Go. Go tell it. Go tell it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege we have to cry woe. And Father, thank you for the low that cleansed him from the coal from off the altar. Thank you. Then, Lord, I pray you'd help us obey the go and share the gospel with others. They too may be saved. Born in the family of God. I pray in Jesus' name, God, you'd help all of us here this morning. There's some here that you may be speaking to their hearts about somebody they need to go to. Maybe somebody here, like the missionary brother, Brother Wall, talked about how he ran from God. But Lord, I remember reading in thy word, Jonah did too. But you got his attention. And I pray maybe somebody here today you're speaking go to in that way. They need to hear what you got to say. I pray for all those who are here today. They're lost. They're without God. They need Jesus. I pray they'll come. I pray for those who are out of the will of God. Their lives have grown cold, indifferent, backslid on God. I pray they'll come. Lord, I pray today be a day that you manifest yourself. Lord, folk here today that need to get right. Folk need to do what God wants them to do. Folk maybe need to come and unite with the church. Some to be baptized, whatever. I pray today they'd do that in Jesus' name. Amen.